The title of my message today is My Presence Shall Go With You. My Presence Shall Go With You. So if we go through the Bible, all the people that God have worked with, when God calls them, God always assures them of his presence. God will always say, I will be with you, I will go with you, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. And why is it like that? Let's first of all go to the book of Genesis chapter 28. Genesis 28:15. God was speaking to Jacob, and he said, And behold, I am with thee. I will keep thee in all places where thou goest. I will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of thee. And if you turn to Isaiah 43:1. God was speaking to the same Jacob. Said, But now thus said the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the fire flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord, thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt to thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. So God assured Jacob again that he will be with him. If you turn to Exodus chapter 3, Exodus 3, 7. Exodus 3, 7. God appeared to Moses, and God was sending him to Egypt to go and bring his people out from the house of bondage. Exodus 3, 7. And the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by the reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites, the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, shall serve God upon this mount. So God assured Moses. Moses said to God, Who am I? That's a very important question. Who am I that I should go and bring these people out? This is very important. Moses looked at Pharaoh. Moses knew Egypt very well before he left. Moses knew how powerful the armies of the Egyptians were. Moses knew how powerful Pharaoh was. And Moses looked at himself and said, Wow, I can't do this. And God said, I will be with you. And if you also go to Exodus 33:1. Exodus 33. Exodus 33, I will start 11, not 1. I'll start from 11. So this happened after Moses went to the mount to bring the commandment, and before he came down, the people had already sinned against God, and God was going to remove his presence from among the people. And the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by thy name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give you rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not out hence. So Moses knew how important it was for God's presence to be with them. And why are we saying all these things? Today, we are the spiritual Israelites. We are the spiritual Israelites. And God has called us out of the world with a very strong hand, with the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. And as they left Egypt and were traveling to the promised land, today we are also on our way to the promised land. We are walking towards achieving or inheriting God's kingdom. We are on our way to the promised land. And Moses saw how powerful the enemy was, Pharaoh, and he said to God, who am I? And when they were on their way to the promised land, they got to a point and Moses said to God, if your presence does not go with us, don't let us go anywhere. Because Moses have heard about the Jebusites, the Amorites, and all those people. They had well-trained soldiers. They were powerful nations. And Moses was just walking with these people that just came out from slavery. Some of them were even sick, probably. And Moses said to God, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't let us go anywhere. We are in that situation today as well. As we journey to the promised land, the Bible tells us that we have an adversary, the devil, who is going about seeking whom to devour. And let us see in Revelation 12 how powerful this adversary, this our adversary, the adversary of man, God's people, how powerful he is. If you turn to Revelation 12, Revelation 12. Revelation 12, 7. Revelation 12, 7 says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So this is the kind of adversary we have. A personality that is as powerful as he is, that he went to heaven to make war with God, not with man. He is a spirit. We cannot even see him. We cannot even see him. You know, if you go to Ukraine now where they are fighting war, at least the Ukrainians know their enemy. They see them. They can fight them. We can't even see him. He is a spirit and we are flesh. He made war with God, God himself. What about us? Who are we? Who are we? We are just nothing. Everything was working fine in the Garden of Eden till he came. And they started going the wrong way. So when you see brother and sisters doing the wrong thing, you should know that devil is close. It's not a time to judge them. It's not a time to fight. It's a time to help, to support with prayer and the time to, you know, speak to them to help, because, you know, the devil is around. He is so powerful. We cannot fight with him. And that is why anytime God sends us, God will always say, I will be with you. My presence shall go with you. Because we are just like the grass, like just like the one of our songs that we just sang now said, that we are just like a grass. And the other portion of the Bible describes us as a flower that just grow, and before you know it, it is gone. We cannot stand this adversary, just like Moses said. So that is very important for us to always remember that we need God's presence, that we need to walk with God every time to get to the promised land. We need to walk with God like James was talking about marriage, physical marriage, and marriage with Christ. We need God's presence to keep to our promises. We need God's strength because Satan, our adversary, is very strong. We need God's presence. And if you turn to the book of John 15:5. John 15:5, Jesus Christ said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abide in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth fruit. For without me you can do nothing. For without me you can do nothing. Jesus Christ said it. Without him we can do nothing. And Moses realized this from the beginning. And he said to God, who am I to go to Pharaoh? If your presence does not go with us, don't let us go anywhere. Don't let us go anywhere. Is God with us? Yes, God with us. God is with us. The Bible said a virgin shall conceive and shall be with a child, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. In translation, God with us. And if you go throughout the Bible, God assures us of his presence, that he is always with us. And if you turn to Matthew 28:20. Jesus Christ said, after he sent them to go and preach the gospel, he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the ages. I am with you always. So God is with us. God will always do his part. God is with us. But there are times when we feel that God is not with us. And sometimes these feelings are real. And there's nothing wrong with feeling that God is not with us. Because if we feel that God is not with us and we realize that we've done one thing or the other that will make God to depart from us, it's something positive. We can always go to God and pray to God and ask for his mercies and forgiveness so that his presence, he will turn back his face to us. David was a man that knew the importance of God's presence, that without God, there's nothing we can do. And every time Moses realized, David realized these things, he will always say, God, I am sorry. Come, turn back your face to me and cause your face to shine upon me. If we turn to the book of Psalms 102 from verse 1. Say, hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the days when I am in trouble. Incline thy ears unto me in the day when I call, answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burnt as an heart. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forgot to eat my bread by reason of the voice of my groaning. My bones cleave to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. So he was like feeling maybe God wasn't hearing him, that he was alone. And this feeling is not a bad feeling today, because we need to realize that God have left us. We need to know when to go back to God and make amends so that God will turn back his face upon us. Say, my enemies reproach me all the days, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. And if you also turn to the book of Psalms 22, from verse 1. This is a prophecy about Jesus Christ. But it's also good for this message today. Psalms 22, 1 says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's one thing to realize that God have departed from you, and you now come to ask God, why? If I've sinned against you, have mercy on me, forgive me. Like Mr. James was talking about self-examination. We need to re-examine ourselves every time. We need to examine and re-examine ourselves every time to know, you know, in order to remain in this marriage with God, this unity with God, remain united with God. Say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring, O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and I'm not silent, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the presence of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou did deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. So he was saying to God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me? So there are times we feel that God has forsaken us, and that could be real. Sometimes God's presence departs from us when we go our own way, when we disobey God, when we commit the things that are abominable before God. God's presence departs from us. But we don't want that to happen to us, because we need God's presence. We need God's presence to get to the promised land. Except we don't want to get to the promised land. We need God's presence to get to the promised land. And we must make sure that God is with us every day by day. Every day by day. Because we don't know when this journey will end. We must ensure that God's presence is with us every day by day. And if you turn to book of Psalms 55:1. Psalms 55 from verse 1. And he said, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaints and make noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained with me, and the terror of death are falling upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror had overwhelmed me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. So he was like, you know, maybe God has forsaken him. That's why all these things are coming upon him. And he was so concerned. Are we concerned when we feel that God has departed from us? Are we troubled when we feel that God has departed from us? We should be. Any second without God's presence is a disaster. Any second without God's presence is terrible. We should be concerned always. We should go back, even when we feel that we've done nothing wrong. It's still very important for us to go to God and say, I'm sorry, please come back to me. Please shine your light on my path so that I will see. God's presence cannot depart from us, even though the Bible says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. God still loves us. God still loves us, but he can remove his presence from us because the eyes of God does not behold iniquity. God's eyes does not behold iniquity. There are also times when we have this false sense or this false feeling that God's presence is with us. We think that we have God. We think that God is with us. But that's not true sometimes. It's false. It could be false sometimes. So that is very important. That's why it is better for us to feel that God has left us than for us to be so comfortable that we have God, that God's presence is with us, without going back to check ourselves, to check if God is really with us. Sometimes we can have this false sense of this false feeling that God's presence is with us, and we'll be making mouth, and we'll be saying, oh, God is with me, I have the Holy Spirit, I have God, and so on. Sometimes it is false. We need to really examine ourselves. If you turn to the book of Judges chapter 16, 20. Judges 16:20. Okay, I'll start from 19. Judges 16:19. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man. And she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him. And his strength went from him. And she said to the Philistines, be upon thee. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as the other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and bring him down to Gaza and bound him with feathers of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. So Samson was so comfortable, so confident that God was with him. He was so relaxed. He woke up from his sleep. When we wake up from slumber, when we wake up from our sleep, what do we do? We need to go back to God. We need to ask for God's presence. We need to get that vitality again from God. We need to make sure that God is with us. And we should always say this thing that Moses said, if your presence does not go with us, don't let us go anywhere. Samson thought that God was still with him, but he did not know that God had departed him. God had left him, and he went out to do as before, to fight, to shake his body, to kill 1,000 people with a jaw of bone, to remove the big gate of a city. But when he woke up, his strength had left him, and they took him and they removed his eyes. How painful is it to remove our eyes, to remove our spiritual eyes, and we remain blind spiritually forever. So this is not a healthy thought when we sit down every time and we are so confident and we feel that we always have God's presence. It's better for us to think, to be anxious, to be worried, just like David, and always go to God and call upon God and say, please come back to me and help me. If you consider our adversary, the devil, according to 1 Peter 5:8, let's turn to 1 Peter 5:8. And it said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So if we consider that we have an adversary who once fought with God, not man, you realize that we need God. We need God's presence as we journey to the promised land. This is not a joke. This is real. This is real. We need God's presence. And how do you know that the devil is around? How do you know that the devil started working against you? When you find yourself doing the right thing and before you know it, you are doing something wrong, it's a sign that devil is around. And if your brother or your sister is doing the same, it's a sign that the devil is around. When you begin to feel hate inside of you, it's a sign that devil is around. When you begin to, when you become envious of any other person or anything, it's a sign that devil is around. When you become so embittered and you want to commit one thing or the other, it's a sign that devil is around. You cannot see him physically, but you can perceive him because he wants to influence us always through our thinking, our desire. And that is how we know that he is around. And at this point, we need to go back to God and pray for help and ask for strength. Because Jesus Christ said, without him, we can do nothing. When we see our brothers falling short, just like I said about Ukraine, if you go to Ukraine now, there's no way a soldier will fall and other soldiers will start celebrating it. There's no way a soldier will fall and other soldiers will start blaming him. They will, first of all, they will see how they will help, and they will call them a hero. So if anyone falls on this part, we should do our best to help, because we have a strong adversary that is fighting all of us. We have to do this always. We need God's presence. And what happens? Why does God's presence leave us sometimes? I've said a lot of it, but we go to the Bible and see Isaiah 59 verse 1. Isaiah 59, 1. Why was David calling? And it was as if God did not hear. Isaiah 59. From verse 1, Isaiah 59, 1. Say, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ears heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue have muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. This is one of the reasons why God's presence will leave us. If we sin against God because of our iniquity, even where we read in Exodus 33, the people, God was going to leave the people because they worshipped idol. Because they committed idolatry, and God was going to depart from them. And Moses said, no, no, you can't leave us. Be merciful, and do not forsake us. We cannot go anywhere without your presence. We should be doing this always. We should be repenting from our sins every time. We should be calling upon God to have mercy on us. Let us not feel that we don't have sin, because we will be making God a liar. Because God is holy. God is righteous. Even our righteousness, the Bible says, is like a filthy rag before him. So this is what separates us from God. And we need to always be that Moses to ourselves and to one another. We need to always be that Moses to ourselves and to one another. Ask for God's mercy, for God's presence, to continue to be with the church, to continue to be with us individually, to continue to lead us on this path to the promised land. Because this is the only hope that we have. This is the only hope that mankind have. Look at what is going on in Ukraine. People are dying. for no just reason. But the Bible assures us that when God's kingdom comes, there will be no war. There will be peace. There will be no war. There will be peace. There will be no gnashing of teeth. There will be no weeping. There will be no death. There will be no conflict. And we have to invest everything we have in this journey. But most importantly, we must make sure that God's presence is with us. If you turn to Habakkuk 1:13. Habakkuk 1:13, referring to God, he said, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil." So God cannot behold evil. God cannot behold iniquity. And once we find ourselves into it, God's presence will leave us. Because God have a purer eyes, according to Habakkuk, and his eyes cannot behold evil and cannot look upon iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? God's eyes does not behold iniquity. And if his eyes does, the Bible said the wicked will perish from his presence. So it's even good for God's presence to depart from us, because we'll be facing destruction if God remain with us and our sins. So what we have to do, we have to repent. If you turn to the book of Psalms 51, Psalms 51, we are learning from David, the man after God's heart. We know the story very well, the story how David killed Uriah and took his wife. And after everything, look at this. This was his prayer. David said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be cleared when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part, thou should make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and wash me, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bone which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sin, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." So David prayed to God and confessed his sins sincerely to God without trying to justify himself. And he asked God for forgiveness, and he asked God to cleanse him, and he asked God to renew in him a new spirit, create in him a new spirit, and do not take him away from God's presence. We should always do the same. We should always repent every day by day of our sins, come back to God and pray to him and ask him to have mercy on us and to be merciful unto us and not depart from us. If you turn to 1 John 1:8, 1 John 1:8. First John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And if we turn to 1 John 2:1, 1 John 2:1, 1 John 2:1, say, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is a propitiation for our sin, and not for us only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He said that we should not sin, but if we do, we have Jesus Christ, like they had Moses in the days of old to mediate for them. We have Jesus Christ, and let us always go boldly to the throne of grace. God is still forgiving sin. God is still forgiving sin. A time will come when the mercy will not be available anymore, but it is available right now. And we have to always go back to God and ask for mercy. Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4:14. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all point tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. We need God's presence. Brethren, we need God's presence. The journey we embarked on is not an easy journey. We have the spiritual Amorites, the spiritual Jebusites. We have all those great soldiers that were thrown down from heaven working against us. We need God's presence to proceed. We need God's presence to arrive safely. We need God's presence to get to the kingdom. Jesus Christ said, if the Son of Man comes back to earth, will he see faith? Yes. He will see faith if we will always have God's presence to help us overcome, to help us continue this journey to the end. If you look at the internet and everywhere, you see a lot of people attacking the Bible, attacking the Word of God. And if we are not careful, we can fall out of the faith. But we need God's presence always. The Bible said that our teachers will always be with us. And we'll hear that voice that tells us, this is the way, walk you therein. We need that voice. We need to always hear that voice. The book of Psalms 24:4. We need God's presence. And God assures us that my presence will go with you. God will do his part, but we need to do our part as well. Psalms 24. Psalm 24, 4. Okay, I'll start from 3. So who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that had clean hands and a pure heart, who had not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So God wants a clean hands and a pure heart. And if you turn to the book of 1 Peter 2:9, 1 Peter 2:9. Peter 2:9, like I told you earlier, that like the Israelites that came out from Egypt and were heading to the promised land, we are the spiritual Israelites. And we are also heading to the promised land. And we need God's presence. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We are chosen people. We are chosen generation. Let's stand firm in what we believe. Let's remove lukewarmness from our part. Let's hold God, like Jesus Christ said, abide in me. Let's abide strongly. Let's walk with God and remove double minds so that God's presence will continue to be with us. We are a chosen generation. We are not just anybody. We are not just anybody. We are a peculiar people, and we are Satan's target. We need God's presence. And we need the support of one another. We need to walk together. We need to walk with God. And we need that strength from God to strengthen one another as well. And if you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4, 7. Deuteronomy 4, 7. Deuteronomy 4, 7. Moses said, for what nation is there so great who had God so near unto them? As the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for. So what nation, what other nation has this privilege that God is so close to us, that God have called us a peculiar people, that God have chosen us, and he's very close to us, and he said if we call upon him, he will answer us. And he said, he is with us. And he said, if we ask anything in his name, he will give it to us. And Moses was asking these people, what nation, what other nation in the world, upon the face of the earth, have this privilege that we have today? And what nation is there so great that has statute and judgment so righteous as all this law which I set before you? Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thy eyes have seen, and lest thou depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons and sons' sons, specially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my word, that they may learn to fear me all the days, and they shall live upon the earth, all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. So Moses was saying, what nation is so great that have God very close to them, that God hears them in everything? The same thing applies to us. We are so peculiar to God. We are so privileged to hear this holy Bible and the words that are written therein, the righteous laws we are so privileged to have them, to understand them, and we are so privileged to be called God's people. And we must understand that we need God's presence, as he has assured us that his presence will go with us. We need to retain God's presence. And if at any point we feel that God's presence has departed from us, we need to go back to God, repent from our sins, and ask God for forgiveness so that God will come back to us and walk with us in this journey. And if we do this, if we have God on our side, if we always have God on our side, we will get to the promised land. And it's my prayer that all of us get to the promised land.